12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. And please give a warm welcome to our speaker, Barb R. from Whiting, New Jersey. Come on in. Oh, Barb, you're still muted. She's laughing.
I said some of my best stuff while I was muted. So that's it. I'm done. We have a nice way of closing. Sorry. I'm Barb. I'm an alcoholic, really grateful alcoholic, really happy to be here, happy to be sober. Thank you, Sunny, for the invitation. I am from the Bronx Big Book Study. And so yes, Sunny, I know you go to it, and I don't know if anybody else here goes to the Bronx, but it's a great meeting every night. Anyway, my sobriety date is August 2nd, 2006, and that gives me 17 and a half years of sobriety. Prior to that, I had 40 years of extreme drunkenness. Yeah, I started drinking when I was 13. I didn't get sober till I was 54. And I did a lot of damage during that time. But after 40 years of daily drinking, daily drunks, daily hangovers, daily hating myself and not wanting to live anymore. One day I woke up and knew that I had had my last drink. And that is divine intervention. Absolutely. And every step thereafter that got me into AA, that allowed me to put some days together. It's all been divine. It's been fabulous, wonderful. I love this program, but I just love the divinity that stretches across the whole program for all people. I just absolutely love it. So that being said, let's talk about 12. The 12th step. When I first came in, I always associated the 12th step with going to people's houses and sitting there with the drunk and their family and talking to them and hoping that something that you say may resonate. Or help or something. But as I've moved through recovery, I know that the 12th step is so much more than that. So I really like to break it down because there's a lot in it. Starting with having had a spiritual awakening. So how do I know if I've had a spiritual awakening? I have faith. I rely upon my higher power, whom I choose to call God. I feel like I do a lot of prayer and meditation, but that's not a spiritual awakening. It's a great connection, and I need that. But a spiritual awakening for me is more of how I interact in this world. What am I like? When I was drinking, I was very selfish, self-centered, self-absorbed, and isolated. I isolated probably the last 10 years of my drinking. And so when I say that I've had a spiritual awakening, I can honestly say that I feel connected. I feel connected to Sunny, and I feel connected to John and Bridget and Rob and pretty much everybody. And it's not just because we're all alcoholics and or addicts. It's a sense of connection, a sense of empathy, a sense of compassion. These are things that I didn't have before I came into the program. These are things I didn't have the first few years of my sobriety. But over time, having had done this work, I am a different person. I care about you guys. I care about the people in my neighborhood. I care about people I don't know. I care about the homeless person I see on the street. I care about people I see on the news. I care about countries that I've never been to, wherever there's any kind of suffering, I care. I have compassion, and that's not the way I used to be. And I do believe that that is the broad definite my broad definition of a spiritual awakening, because I'm just not the same person I used to be. Okay. As a result of these steps, and the John was great when he read the steps, and he read step 12. He double back paused kind of on we try to carry this message, not my message. I'm not trying to carry my message. God knows I don't have a message, I have ideas and thoughts, but let's carry this message. And so, as a result of these steps, not just some random things that I did, it's these steps are amazing. My God, the transformation. So I've heard a lot of people say, well, like I have sponsees, okay, and a lot of my sponsees are pretty new in the program, pretty new in recovery, and I encourage them when somebody is on the meeting, and they put something in the chat saying, I'm new, I've got 3 days, I need support, whatever, and they give their number, and then I make my sponsees call that person. And they say, well, what have I got to offer? I'm only sober a month or whatever. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. We it or they say, well, I haven't done the steps yet. Well, we're doing the steps, but in the meantime, call this girl. She could use your help. And I have my sponsor is Larry B in LA. My grand sponsor is Ralph White, and so I have a great lineage, a really great lineage. Larry tells the story of how when he first came in to the program, he had a different sponsor at the time, and obviously they were all live meetings. And he was 3 days sober when he was sitting in a meeting with his sponsor, and a guy came in and raised his hand and said he had 1 day. And after the meeting, Larry's sponsor said, I want you to go up and talk to that guy. Larry said, what am I going to say? I've got 3 days sober. He said, go tell him how you got 3 days. And that's what we do. That's carrying the message, It doesn't have to be some big grand thing. We're not tasked with getting people sober. We're tasked. We're obligated. We are. I feel like we're spiritually obligated to help the next alcoholic walking through these doors. So we try to carry this message. The message in the book. It's the only message we have to worry about, which makes it really easy when you think about it, because I don't have to reinvent the program. I don't have to try to figure out what to say. All I have to do is read the book with people. Read the book, work the steps as they occur organically in the book, and that's what we hope will allow that person to recover. You know, all I want is for people to have what I have, which is a life beyond my wildest dreams. And then to practice these principles in all our affairs. Oh my gosh, such a big that is such a big condition. Okay, it's not a condition. That wasn't the right word. I'm not sure what word I want to use, but that is a very important dictate that we practice these principles in all our affairs. We can be very spiritual when we're at an AA meeting. We can be very spiritual when we're working with another alcoholic one-on-one. I can, tell you all kinds of things that will make me look spiritual, but what do I do when I walk outside of my door? You know, when I leave here, I've got human beings to deal with. Now, human beings, normies, as some people call them, are not always easy because they don't have a program. I wish everybody had a program. I wish that between high school and college, you had to go to a 12-step university. I think that would be lovely. Can you imagine having a whole world of recovered people? I mean, seriously. Anyway, this program has, it says early on in the book that this is going to solve all of my problems. And it's true. And even normal people that don't have a problem with drinking, have baggage and issues that they carry from childhood and would do well to have this program. But I need to be kind and patient and loving. I have to practice forgiveness all the time. I have to practice patience and tolerance. Oh dear. I recently moved into a senior community, and I'm one of the young ones, believe it or not. I am one of the young ones because I'm with a lot of women and men. There's men here too. A lot of people in their 80s and 90s. I think the average age in this community is 86. And so there's a lot of people that are may not be quite as sharp as they used to be. They don't hear like they used to. They don't see like they used to. And I think God put me here just to practice patience and tolerance. I really do. But so I think that 12-step work is extremely important. I think that, getting back to the original gist of the 12th step, helping another alcoholic is what I right now live for. This is my main thing. I mean, I do a lot of community service outside of Alcoholics Anonymous, but what the service that I do inside this fabulous fellowship is so important to me. I shouldn't be alive. I should never have survived 40 years of drinking and drugging. It's absolutely amazing. If I got what I deserved, I wouldn't be alive, or I just wouldn't have this life that I have. I mean, talk about a life beyond my wildest dreams. When I was drinking, my wildest dream was that someday I might be able to not drink. That was my wildest dream. And I didn't have much hope of that ever coming true because I tried to stop drinking a lot, over and over and over. I tried to stop drinking and I couldn't do it. So to have a life where I've been able to retire, I want for nothing. I'm not rich, but I'm comfortable. I've got everything I need. Everything I need is provided by God. That's the way I see it. So I am uniquely qualified, not uniquely qualified, uniquely in a position, I'm paraphrasing, to devote a lot of my time to this work, which is such a good thing for me. I've got time, I've got a Zoom room, and I've got 17 and a half years of experience. So yeah, I can do this thing. My dear friend Leslie Strange likes to say, if you are recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body, if you have received the promises that this program gives us, and you're not doing 12th step work, you're a spiritual thief. And I believe that. It sounds a little harsh, especially when I tell my sponsees that. If I don't think that they're doing any service, I will call them out on that. And so yeah, step 12 for me is definitely an amazing thing. And I'll just tell you a little story about how it worked in my life in the beginning. It was simply amazing. My mother was an alcoholic. She was a really bad, 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 down and dirty drunk, garden variety drunk. I did not know my mother. I didn't know her because she was always passed out. She was always, I would leave for school and she would be in bed. I would come home from school, she'd be passed out on the couch. And I would, take care of my father and my sisters and go to bed and the same thing every day. Okay, this was my life. Mom got sober when I was 19, and then my alcoholism really took off. And like I said, I got into drugs too, but it was alcohol was always numero uno in my life, and my mother ended up marrying a man in the program. And there was something wrong with him, okay? And I'm not taking his inventory. He was diagnosed as a sociopath. So I'm not just, saying, mean things about him. And he caused a rift in our family that didn't seem like it would ever mend. And I had not had any contact with my mother for the past or for the last 10 years of my drinking. But that day that I woke up, August 2nd, 2007, I woke up, 2006, I woke up and I did my usual morning routine, which was crawl to the bathroom, throw up for 15 minutes or so, and then, manage to get into the shower, get dressed, and go to work. I was a functioning alcoholic. And this day I woke up and now I'm vomiting blood and a lot of it. And I knew that I was in bad trouble. I knew that. And I was so disgusted and I was so done. And I remember crying out, God, please either take me or help me. But I can't do this anymore. And that was when that feeling just came over me that I had had my last drink. And I started to feel something that was strange. I didn't understand it. And what was this feeling? And I recognized it afterwards that it was hope, something I hadn't felt in forever. I don't remember ever feeling that kind of hope. And then, without any hesitation, I picked up the phone and called my mother, who I had not spoken to in 10 years. And I said, Mom, I need help. And she said, we will pick you up this evening at 6 o'clock, whatever. So she and her husband came over that evening at 6 o'clock and took me to a diner and fed me. And then took me to an AA meeting. They did that every day for the next 4 months. I mean, how does that happen? How does stuff like that happen? That's got to be God. Absolutely, positively has to be God working in my life. I ended up having the most wonderful relationship with my mother. And it was funny because I didn't even know her. She, like I said, she didn't get sober till I was 19. So I only knew a drunk version of my mother. I never knew what a sober Pat Ryan looked like. I didn't even really know how tall she was because she was never vertical. She was always horizontal. I very rarely saw her standing up. Anyway, you can't make this stuff up. So that was, mom was such a great example of 12-step work. And, she died a few years ago at 96 with 50 years of sobriety. And it's, just an amazing thing. And I watched her 12-step, many people. I watched her practice the 12th step in so many ways. In so many ways. She somebody that I was always angry and resentful about turned out to be someone I just wanted to be like. I wanted to be the kind and generous of spirit person that she was. And all I ever wanted to be was the best version of me that I can be. And that's what I'm working on, and that's become the focus of my life, is to try to keep getting better. And luckily, there's longevity in my family. So I probably have another, gosh, 20 years to go, which gives me a lot of time to work on this. I still have some character defects that John I can be talking about in the UK in a couple of weeks. I'm still working on some character defects, but they're not, it's nothing like I used to be. My life has done a complete, thank you, Sonny, a complete 180. A complete 180. When I hear people say that they've done a complete 360, I think, wait a minute, and then you're right back to where you started from. So I make sure I say 180. I am definitely nowhere near the person that I used to be, and I am almost starting to be happy with the person that I am now, and I'm content, which I never thought I'd be, but it's the result of going to meetings every day. I don't ever miss a, I don't ever miss a day of going to a meeting, and I hope I never do. I would not be as happy and joyous and free if I wasn't in it all the way. It's not just, people say, come all the way in, sit all the way down, and then stay there. Just stay here, because my alcoholism is still alive and well somewhere in me. But as long as I keep showing up, doing what I can do to help the next sick and suffering alcoholic or addict, keep working my 10th step, take inventory every day and make sure that I'm still on the path that I'm meant to be on. And if I'm not, make sure to fix that right away. And I stay in prayer, and I don't stay in meditation. I try meditation. I'm not that good at it. My brain is still very squirrely, and I have a hard time meditating. But I have a very easy time praying, and I'm a big fan of two-way prayer. And that is such an effective tool for me. So I think that I don't know what it is that keeps me sober, whether it's the meetings, whether it's my sponsees, whether it's my sponsor, whether it's prayer and meditation, or I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to take a chance of giving any of it up, because it's working. Whatever is going on is working. And I just have to say that this is a fabulous life. I don't know if there's anyone here who's kind of new or coming back, but man, this life, I wouldn't, there's a line in I think it's in Bill's story where he says he would not trade his or he wouldn't drink even if he could, or he wouldn't, well, I forget now, so I'm not even going to go there. But I just, I can't describe enough how wonderful my life is. And I didn't think that it would be like this when I stopped drinking. I thought that, life was pretty much over. But man, oh man, I'm having just the most wonderful life. I love it. I love being able to go to a party and not have to worry about drinking and getting drunk and embarrassing myself. And I'm just so grateful. I am so grateful. Thank you, Sunny, for inviting me here. Thank you, Bridget, for that fabulous picture. I just keep staring at that and I just love that. So good. Okay, that's it for me. I'm done.